It's an amount of money that could make a huge difference spent on other development projects inside the state that would provide more jobs for Alaskans and better outcomes for us. If you're listening to this meeting today or recording later, I would urge everyone to get in contact with their representatives in the state legislature and ask them to increase their oversight of expenditures of this size. This $50 million belongs to us, the people of Alaska, and I'm hopeful we can find some other ways to spend something that large. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments.
Hello, caller.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. My name is John Gadeke, and I'm calling in from Fairbanks today. I know a lot of people will call in and complain probably about your consistent track record of failures and point out that the only time you're involved with a success on these projects on projects that would have succeeded without state dollars. My family started a business up in the Brooks Range, which is near to the Amber Road proposal, so we've been watching this closely. And I'm also worried that other folks here today will point out the conflicts of interest that most of you board members have had in the past year, especially during COVID, when you all appropriated funds, not just to yourself, that was hundreds of thousands of dollars there, but also put in $300 million to the Arctic Fund, which is what you're siphoning from today. There was no oversight then or what would be done. It's just called the Arctic Fund. And now, again, we see that with another $50 million to go towards this project with no oversight and also no definition from the ADA board itself on where this goes and how this promotes a road that's projected to cost into the billions. I would really like to see ADA fail. I mean, having been raised in the Brooks Range near to a lot of these project proposals, I would like to see you succeed at this and not fail. And so I urge you to kind of reinvent yourself. I don't think it would be that hard, but it would take some experience. And if you want to actually be an authority on industrial development, please get someone with experience. Possibly from Norway would be a good place to start. Their industrial returns are triple what Alaska does in nearly every sector, from fishing to mining and oil. And lastly, please stop giving our resources away. The Amber Road project is already $35 million in debt to Trilogy. So this $50 million is really only about half that because Trilogy has money that they'll get back from this, you know, supposed tolls when the road starts. So how are you considering a development when you already own foreign mining companies' money? You've consistently destroyed your relationships with Doyon and Nana, and that's the other thing I don't understand. Those are the folks in the region that are supposed to benefit. Please do better. I want you to do better as someone in the area and in Fairbanks. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else, Rami? Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Andrea Feniger. I'm calling in from Anchorage. And I just want to echo the comments before me, particularly stating that the road is for all Alaskans, I think is, you know, at best misleading. and also just the lack of transparency and difficulty, similar to what the last caller said, like understanding how all this money got appropriated and with little to no oversight and like a consistent, clear statement that you aren't listening to public comment. So it's, I hope that you do hear us today and that you offer a little more clarification and better consider your projects for actually the interests of Alaskans and better choose the language that you use when talking about these projects, as well as, and most importantly, there's some oversight and transparency in the true cost of these projects and how they're actually going to get built and developed despite the difficulty, like the last caller said, with your relationships in the region. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning. My name is Lana Tallis. I'm calling from Fairbanks. I'm also interested in just echoing the comments of the people who called in before me. I work in the Brooks Range for an air service. I'm flying over the proposed corridor where the Amber Road would go every day. And I'm interested in maintaining the wilderness the way that it is. I'm interested in Alaskan money not being used for
purposes other than what many Alaskans would like it to be used for. I'm disappointed in the continued push in the face of a lot of pushback from Alaskans. And again, I'd just like to echo the comments of the people before me about the effectiveness of the move this road and for past projects. That's what I got. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We'll close the public comment section right now. That brings us to item number 6, new business, which is a kind of a lengthy executive session. It's confidential deliberative matters related to A to regulations, A to financials, legislative matters, A to projects, including ANWR, AMBLR, West Sioux, and investment opportunities and strategies. And all these, of course, are subject to the deliberative process. Privilege executive process, privilege of other legal exemptions from the Open Meetings Act. And all matters related to ADA subject to attorney-client privilege will be discussed. So executive session, I'll take a motion for that.
This is Bill Kendig. I move that the board enter an executive session for the purpose of discussing the following: ADA regulations, ADA financials, legislative matters, AMR, AMBLR, West of Sitna Access, investment opportunities, strategies, other matters related to ADA, and matters that are subject to specific legal advice, which is subject to the attorney-client privilege. These matters, which if discussed publicly could have an adverse effect on the finances of ADA, are matters that are attorney-client privileged and matters involving consideration of issues and that by law are not subject to public disclosure due to the executive or deliberate process privilege or other law. The executive session and matters discussed therein are proper subjects for an executive session under the Alaska Open Meetings Act, reference Alaska Statute 44-62-310, C1, 3, and 4, and the Alaska Public Records Act.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Albert. Ramey, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy? Policy Director Smythe?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Chair Pruse?
Yes.
You have a quorum, sir.
Okay, first up.
Chair, you are on the record.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'll advise the public the board did not take any actions on the matters discussed while in the executive session. The session was limited to discussions of matters directly protected from the public disclosure by the Open Meetings Act. So, Ramey, we are, and Randy, we are back to item number B on our agenda under new business, resolution G25-09, AMBLR Access Project Funding. Randy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Resolution G25-09 is a resolution that would authorize the transfer movement of $50 million in funds that are now residing in the revolving fund. To a subaccount of the revolving fund that is set aside by resolution of the board specifically for the AMBLR Access Project. As it's been publicly noted, the president has signed a order granting ADA its right-of-way and all federal permits associated with the project. This clears a path towards performance of a significant amount of work on the project, and these funds will be accounted for and separately used for the AMBLR Road Project, Chair.
Okay. So if someone would put the resolution on the table.
This is Bill Kendig. This is Bill Kendig. I move resolution G25-09, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority related to the development and funding of the Amber Road project by approving the transfer of $50 million from the revolving fund to the separate Ambler Access Project account within the revolving fund.
Randy Elledge, second.
Further discussion on the resolution for the Ambler Access Project. Bill? Yes, I'm saying. No. All right, well, this is the beginning. We want to thank the president for signing 1106 on the original ANILCA legislation. That progresses the project forward. Hope to do a little bit of a winter program on geotech work only, and it's a slow rolling ball. Not much will happen other than that. So, if there's no further comments from board members, Remy, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Policy Director Smythe?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel? Chair Prus?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Item number C, we are going to postpone to our next board meeting the financial statements, and BDO, our auditors, will be here at that time to discuss their results from the audit. Is that correct, Randy?
That is correct, Chair.
Is there any objection to postponing item C? Hearing none, that's postponed. It comes up to item number 7, our agenda, director's comments, project updates.
Thank you, Chair. There are several projects to provide updates on for the Chair and the Board. The first project is the one that we just took action on with the resolution, the Ambler Road project. Just to review briefly, ADA had brought an appeal of the Biden administration's decision to deny access and deny permits to the project. We brought that appeal under a provision in ANILCA, which is Alaska Lands legislation that was passed in 1980. Under that legislation, Senator Stevens was responsible for getting language into that bill that would give persons who'd been denied access by a federal agency the right to appeal, and to appeal directly to the president. And so that's what we did. President Trump agreed with our appeal, granted it, and we now have our right-of-way and all federal permits. So we're proceeding forward as fast as we can to get some field work done and other geotech work, and look forward to eventually building that project and bringing, unlocking resources for Alaskans, revenue for Alaskans from development, jobs, particularly for the communities nearest the road that have mostly passed resolutions of support, Allakaket and Hughes and several others, Shugnak, support the project. They would like to have jobs. And this road will allow that whole mining area to move forward and provide probably generations of good paying jobs. I think the average wage in a mining job is $134,000 a year and going up. So that's a very good wage, family paying wage, you know, which is really important for the, particularly for the communities out there.
And that's working 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off?
Correct. Okay. Correct. So
they'll be able to go back to their communities every month roughly.
That's right.
Yeah.
It also gives them a little time to practice subsistence and other things on their off time. So it'll be a very positive thing. It'll also help gap fill the decline of Red Dog Mine, which is now anticipated to run out of ore around 2031, gradual decline, I think, starting in 2027. And so it'll help gap fill jobs and revenue for that region. This project will for those communities. The other project update, Chair, is West Susitna Access. That project, we have filed our core permit. We have performed a review of wetlands presence, federal wetlands jurisdictional presence after the 2023 U.S. Supreme Court decision that narrowed the scope of federal wetlands jurisdiction. That analysis reduced wetlands jurisdiction for the feds by about 90%. You now have to actually have a navigable river or lake before you can assert, feds can assert authority over that land. And that's an important issue, not only in terms of the scope of federal wetlands jurisdiction, but in terms of which entity, the feds or the state, get to decide how that those lands and waters are used. The pendulum has now shifted far to the state being the one who makes those decisions. And so we'll continue working with the Corps on exactly what their jurisdiction is and what is the state's jurisdiction. And we look forward to advancing that project as rapidly as reasonably and legally possible. The other project is the ANWR leases. We performed a fair amount, significant amount of geologic review. We're estimated to have billions of barrels of oil on those leases, trillions of cubic feet of gas. Congress did pass the reconciliation bill, which changes the revenue split to a 70-30 in favor of the state from a 50-50. So the potential annual revenue from ANWR coastal plain leases is now above $2 billion a year if everything was developed and moving. So very significant amount of potential revenue for the state. And part of those royalties would be deposited into the permanent fund annually, which would allow the permanent fund to grow, you know, significantly as well. So we're advancing there. That's largely the project updates, Chair.
Thank you. Questions from Randy? All right. Loan dashboard report.
Right, Chair, on the loan dashboard, I'm going to defer to Tiffany, loan director.
Good afternoon.
Are you doing statistics summary too?
I wasn't going to do the statistics summary. Huh? I said I wasn't going to do the statistics summary.
Who's doing that?
It usually goes to our executive director.
I can do that one.
Okay. Yes. All right. Load dashboard.
Okay. There's no real updates to it. We're still working on the modification and the delinquency, so we hope to have that situated this month. That is the only delinquency that we have had basically all year. And right now we're looking at some bigger projects. We do have a smaller project coming through that we'll hopefully get to committee this week or next. But we have some other larger ones that are on your confidential pipeline for the next about 6 months coming through.
So when you say coming through, Tiffany, does that mean that it's being sponsored by the bank and they've approved it?
Correct. So they're going through, these are larger projects, so they're going through at the lender right now, going through all the due diligence. But I've spoken with a couple of these borrowers already, so I anticipate that we'll have them in about the next 6 months as things get situated.
And what are we talking about as far as economics, the volume, dollar amount, all together?
Right now, with what I think we're going to achieve, it's probably going to be somewhere around $40 million with the few loans that I believe it will get in the next couple of months.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
That means to put in, you know, what I would call, in my mind, encumbered until further notice.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Any questions for Tiffany?
Just one.
Go ahead, Randy.
Tiffany, on the pardon me, on that delinquency, you said that it would be hopefully resolved this month. Did I understand that correctly?
Correct. So I'll be meeting with the lender again on Friday to talk about the final modification documents. We've just received some information this week, which will allow us to proceed forward.
Will we be made whole?
It'll be a modification, but yes, in the end, we should be made whole with the payments that will be made. Yes.
Thank you, Tiffany. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I would have asked, is there going to be much pain and suffering?
Well, that's Tiffany's.
That's
part,
again, yes, on pain and suffering, but we will get made whole.
Just saying. All right, statistics report summary.
Thank you, Chair. On the statistics summary, this is for the two programs that are managed by Commerce. the Small Business Economic Development Loan Program and the Rural Development Initiative Fund. For the first program, the Small Business Economic Development Program, roughly $13 million in outstanding loans, 50 total borrowers, zero delinquencies. There is a question, and we may have the director of the Division of Investments at our next meeting, Chair, to talk about the capital needs of that program. I think they are getting a bit low. Zero delinquencies, average loan, almost $300,000. Some interest, I think, when I talked to the division manager, he said he's got some interest from three more borrowers. So there is some interest in that program still.
So remind me again, we fund it and then we get the interest back or principal? How does this work?
So the program is basically transferred, I guess, in a way over to Division of Investments. The interest returns to the loan fund, not to ADA. We're not, Division of Commerce is paying the cost of running the program. We don't see a return of interest right now, Chair. We could look at that.
Or principal? Do we get principal back?
The principal, the payments from the borrowers is now, I believe, going entirely back into the program to provide additional loans.
How long has the program been in place? When?
Since the 80s.
And when was the last time ADA put some seed money into it?
I think it's been at least 10 to 15 years.
So how's that carried in our books?
Gene, do you have a answer on how we carry the SBED program on our financials?
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Where does the SBED program funds show up on our books?
The cash balances that they have on hand are up in our cash, current cash. The loans balances are in our loan portfolio. The way I think of it is they do the servicing on it, but we retain all the records.
Right. It doesn't sit on the dashboard.
That doesn't make sense to me. Do we don't ever anticipate any of the dollars ever coming back to ADA?
I think the dollars, some dollars could come back to ADA, but we'd probably have to modify whatever resolution, you know, originally put all the funds over to the, or the management of the funds over to the Division of Investments. I can circulate that resolution if.
Well, I'm just curious how, you know, what's more important to me is how it's, if it's reflected on our books or is it, to me, it sounds like we should write it off our books because I don't think we'll ever get it back. Mm-hmm. And it's a support of another state program. Why would we, if we don't anticipate, if it keeps self-funding itself, which is a good thing, I'm not saying again, but why would we keep it on our books if we don't expect it back?
Is an ADA program that you guys have asked the Department of Commerce basically to run because, frankly, it's such small compared to what we do here. It's very, very small. It's an incredibly successful program, obviously, through the zero delinquencies or the really low delinquency rate. And it's one that we're really passionate about continuing to do because it serves such an important function and as an economic driver. But it's an ADA program that, frankly, this team doesn't have the resources to continue and to manage. So our team handles it under the Division of Investments, but it's an ADA program. But it's not one where we're looking to get a return on the investment because all we're doing
I understand that, but we'll never get the money back. So to me, it shouldn't be on the books.
Well, the money's coming back, but we're just giving it back out again in more loans.
And you're not charging interest on the loans?
There is interest charged.
And that money's going where? Back into it?
Back into it.
Well, I think if the interest came back to ADA, it would be a viable, what I would call a loan. But if ADA never sees it, then I think maybe you need to look at that resolution and make sure I think there's a challenge on our books that how we're reporting it. Mm-hmm. We mean, one, we don't control it, right? It may be a name, I call it name only, it sounds like. It does provide a good service to Alaskans, but it will never, you know, we've got to be honest, if we don't expect to see those dollars back, we don't expect to see the dollars back. I mean, they can't be in our balance sheet that we could invest in someplace else because we're not going to see them back. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
At that status now, yes.
Yeah. That doesn't mean go away with the program. That just means how it's reflected that, you know, it's like a write-off or something. Write it off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still a, you know.
Viable, yeah.
To me, it's something. It's
a wash.
Huh?
Wash with interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's a conversation, I guess, for the board. We could take a look at the previous resolution and sort of figure out how we want to carry it on the books. But the recapitalization of a really important program is what's also.
The validity of the program is irrelevant to how it's on the books. Okay, so I don't question it's a valid program. There's a lot of benefits. What I question is that how we have it on the books. It's a non-performing asset. It keeps going revolving. ADA doesn't see any benefit from it other than its name is on a program. I get that. It's not an asset to be deployed someplace else. So it's at least restricted. I mean, in my mind, at least it's a restricted non-performing asset.
Yep, and what I can do, Chair, is circulate the last resolution plus the pages from our financial statements that show how it's reflected on our books, and all the members can take a look at it. And it's probably up for discussion at the next meeting, I think.
I mean, we just call it what it is, and I don't want to call it an additional dividend, but it could be.
Yep, I'll circulate that.
Yeah.
In the handouts on the statutory mechanism, there is a column showing everything for, at least for the income statement for the program.
Chair, we'll circulate, staff will circulate that info.
Yeah,
to all the members.
Yeah, I don't want to confuse the viability and how good the program is versus how it's reported and what ADA should do financially on its books for it. Two completely different conversations.
Two different things.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it, Chair.
Who knew the statistics summary would be like that? Okay. Shows our next board meeting is December 10th. I will put the caveat out that there probably will be a board meeting in November, date to be determined based on if Ramey would poll the board for a November meeting. Should we have one? That brings us to board comments. Comments from anybody?
Yeah, I'd like to thank staff for all the work they do, and I'd like to congratulate our new comptroller on his negotiations with BDO with no conflicts. That's amazing. Thank you.
I'll echo Member Kendig's comments. Thank you for the work on the financial statements, and just encourage ADA to keep up the pace.
Thank you.
ADA continues to be the catalyst for responsible resource development, as evident by what we passed today in the Ambler Access Project funding to move forward with that. Just appreciative of staff's due diligence to get us to where we are. And also this current federal administration, as well as the state administration, being totally behind this. Thank you, Randy, and your staff.
Yeah, thank you.
Before I make my comments, I'd like to ask Randy to make a comment on some of the testimony we heard this morning.
Sure.
On the Ambler Access.
Chair, related to the Ambler Access Road, it's discussed as if it was a discretionary action that the federal government could choose whether or not to grant access. It's actually in federal statute, section 201 sub 4 of ANILCA and 1110B and 1323B of ANILCA and 1326. All those provisions guarantee and mandate access to state lands and to the Ambler Mining District. It was never a discretionary decision in the first place. So the Biden administration, when they canceled the access rights, was out of bounds. And I think President Trump's now corrected that with his order. But I think that's important to realize. And also that those state lands in Alaska, of course, under our Constitution, all Alaskans own an interest in state lands equally with each other. And so when the resolution said all Alaskans will benefit from the project, they will. There will be not only jobs, but there'll be royalties, mining license fees, corporate income taxes, and other things, you know, that will be paid into the treasury at a time when at times when our treasury is very low. So it will help support everything the state does, from education to Medicaid to DOT match, whatever. When resource development provides that type of revenue, all Alaskans do benefit from their equal ownership in the land. And I would just also add that the local communities that we've worked with, I think we have six resolutions from the communities closest to the road, tribes and communities that support the road. And the reason they all tell us they do is they are tired of poverty. They want jobs. They want a better standard of living. They want disposable income. And they're all willing to work for it, you know, to do that. They're willing to go to work in some capacity. They also look forward to contract opportunities if they're small businesses, things like that. Everything that a mine will generate, which is ends up like a mini city, similar to Red Dog. And Red Dog is really the example for the project. The subsistence committee has adopted standards that I think are even stricter in terms of protecting fish and game from impacts from the road. So the project, I guess I would say, is I believe, on a good track. It's being done right. We are communicating and consulting with the locals in the region, and I would leave it at that. I guess that's a factual and maybe policy disagreement with some of the people that spoke this morning.
Thank you, Randy. I like the idea of $130,000 a year for local community members to be able to work half a year and still have the lifestyle that they're accustomed to.
Correct. Yes, it's a good job.
All right, my comments first, I appreciate everybody's work here today. I appreciate the board members' patience and, you know, going through a lot of different programs and discussions and whatnot. I think it's all good stuff. I think it's all stuff that will benefit, you know, Alaska residents and their equity in ADA. But I would like to bring up the subject of what Alaska's just experienced with Southwest Alaska, the typhoon. And I would ask ADA staff to work under a modified Alaska SHIP program, lending with our lending partners to on the commercial side of the business. Everybody talks about homes and whatnot, but there's commercial businesses in these businesses. We don't want to get in the middle of what Alaska Housing Finance does or whatnot, you know, housing loans, but there are commercial businesses. So if we can put a program, modified that program to affect positively Western Alaska sooner than later, I think that would be a positive thing. So I would ask staff to look into that and come up with something as soon as, you know, yesterday.
Yeah.
Because at times of the essence, maybe some bridge financing for commercial operations in these communities. That's my ask. I think we've talked about it a little bit. I don't think there's, from a board member's I don't think there's any negative or, you know, it's needed. I think it's a way ADA can contribute to the